This is the September 2017 Investment Conditions Report. It's Friday afternoon, September 8th. The purpose of the Investment Conditions Report ultimately is to save you time, so you're not having to spend hours upon hours following all the financial headlines. We objectively look at the financial data, economic trends, financial or market valuations, market internals, the level of trend and momentum, and rank them in terms of, are they red, green, or yellow? Granted, that's a subjective judgment, but these are measures that I've been looking at as a professional investment advisor. I did for well over a decade. And as a non-investment advisor, a personal investor, and an educator on Money for the Rest of Us, I continue to look at the same criteria to make a decision whether we should be increasing risk, keeping risk in line with our long-term allocation, or reducing risk. And so this is a time saver for you. It's a useful exercise for me, one I've been doing for many years. Usually take a day or two to pull the data together and make a judgment call based on what I'm seeing. And there was definitely some improvements in terms of economic trends this month, which I'll discuss in a moment. Overall, though, the markets, if you look at the global stock market that we're going to start, they're looking at overall market returns. Then we'll talk about valuations, have a discussion regarding economic trends, and finally market internals and wrap it all up. But the market, the overall stock market, the MSCI All Country World Index, fairly flat, is up 0.4% for the month of August. We're in sort of the, in terms of seasonality, August and September are usually the worst performing months for global stocks. And so 0.4%, not a bad return. Strong returns here to date, up 15% in U.S. dollars and 11.4% in local currencies. Most of the regions had returns less than 1%, except in emerging markets. Good positive numbers, up 2.2% in the month of August, and now it's up 28.3% year to date in U.S. dollars and 23% in local currencies. Interest rates fell. The 10-year Treasury bond is getting close to where it was right around the presidential election, close to 2%. With interest rates falling, bond prices appreciate. So the overall U.S. aggregate gained U.S. bonds 0.9% for the month. It's up 3.6% year-to-date. The global bonds, global aggregates, also up 1% for the month, but has a much higher return, 7.2% year-to-date. That's because that is quoted in U.S. dollars. With the dollar weakening throughout the year, that has allowed the return for non-U.S. bonds, as quoted in dollars, to have a higher return. The areas of the market, the bond market, have done the best this year is emerging market bonds. That's up 7.4% year-to-date, the U.S. dollar emerging market bonds. Local currency U.S. government bonds are up 12.4% again, aided by the depreciating or weakening dollar. The high-yield bonds are up 6.1%, U.S. high-yield bonds year-to-date. Spreads widened a little bit in the month of August for non-investment-grade bonds, and so they were flat for the month. The total return was flat, 0% for the month of August. In terms of income strategies, the energy markets continued to struggle. The GSCI commodity index fell 0.6% in August, down 6.7% year-to-date. MLP sold off partly due to concerns regarding Hurricane Harvey. That was down a pretty substantial 4.9% in the month of August. That's rebounded some since then, and down 6.3% year-to-date. So MLP is having a tough year after a very strong 2016. Part of diversification is something's not necessarily working in your portfolio. That's what happens when you're diversified. Not everything works on all cylinders, and we're seeing that with master limited partnerships, but valuations are improving there. We're up to close to, what is the yield on master limited partnerships? I don't want to misquote you, 7.7%. So we're approaching an 8% yield on MLPs given the sell-off. So that's sort of a return, an estimate in terms of returns. REIT returns were positive year to date. They haven't been as stellar as U.S. stocks, but they're up. Looks like U.S. REITs are up 0.6% in August, up 6.9% year to date. Global REITs down slightly, down 0.2%, and they're up 5.5% year to date. So that's an overview of markets. Valuations, an interesting thing with valuations. They're getting better. They're improving. They're higher because corporate earnings growth has been so strong. So the All Country World Index, September 1st earnings yield, this is the inverse of the price-to-earnings ratio, is 5%. That's its highest amount. The higher the yield, the more attractive the valuation. And a 5% yield, that's the first time we've had that in over or in a year. So last August, we were at a 5% earnings yield. We're back to that because earnings growth has done so well. Global corporate profit growth over the past year was right here, 16.7%. That's how much earnings year over year have grown. That's the best earnings growth numbers or the fastest pace since 2011. So it's been a while, and that is propelling the market upward and also improving valuations at the same time. Developed markets earnings growth has been 18% over the past year, and emerging markets 14.8%. U.S. earnings up 13.9%. So generally speaking, very strong earnings growth and expectations over the next year is we'll continue to have double-digit earnings growth. That has allowed, even though the market has appreciated this year, the valuations have not gotten worse. They've actually gotten better. And so overall, we're still in low neutral territory in terms of valuation, but we're not in fact, Japan actually had a nice increase or improvement in valuations. And so Japan would be labeled green in terms of their valuations, in terms of the level of undervaluation. That's really the only major region that you can say has some undervaluation. But generally speaking, on a valuation front, some improvement there. On a cyclically adjusted basis, we're pretty much at average. And just on a trailing 12-month earnings yield basis, we're below average, which means the market's a little pricey. Globally, I mean, not as bad as, say, U.S. markets and Europe are the most priciest markets in the world right now, with the earnings yield of both of those below or at around 4.1% or so. And so when we look at one of the things we look at is how many standard deviations away from the norm are those valuations. And so if it's, and standard deviation just being a measure of just how far outside of the norm. So if something's more than an observation is greater than one standard deviation away from its long-term average, then that is, if it's the earnings yield is lower by one standard deviation or more, lower than its average, then the market, you could say, is overvalued. If it's one standard deviation higher in terms of earnings yield, then you can say it's undervalued. And so right now, U.S. and U.K., or U.S. is about 0.9 standard deviations away from its average. U.K. is about 1.3%, and Europe's 0.9. And so those are the areas that are the most pricey relative to their averages. And I mentioned Japan. Japan's about 1.1 standard deviations cheaper than its average, because its earning yield is right now came in, looks like 6.7%. Although keep in mind, its average is 4%, because Japan has been somewhat pricey for many decades, mainly because of earnings have been, it's been a tough earnings environment longer term. I mentioned on some income strategies, the dividend yield for MLPs up 7.7%. That yield advantage over 10-year treasuries is 5.6%. The long-term average is 3.2. So MLPs are attractively valued. They have been volatile. I'll give you that. The REIT dividend yield is around 4.1%. So again, that remains pretty richly valued, as are high-yield bonds with their yield relative to treasuries, the spread's only 3.5% versus a 5% average. So so high yield bonds are somewhat pricey, as you know, to some extent emerging market yields, 4.4% spread relative to treasuries. No, well, that's their actual yield, 2.3% spread relative to treasuries. 4.3% is the average. It'd be tough. You know, I wouldn't necessarily be allocating more to emerging market bonds right now, given those yields. But relative to treasuries, you're still picking up some incremental yield. So that's kind of where we are on valuations, overall low neutral territory. The good news, though, is on the economic and central bank trends. Probably some of the best numbers we've seen. So we look at the PMI, the Purchaser Managers Indices, Purchasing Manager Indices, PMI. These are surveys done around the world asking business how business is. It came in, the JP Morgan, so it's an aggregate of all the countries, regions that participate, 53.1. That's its highest level in 6 years. And more importantly, the share of PMIs around the world above 50 in expansion territory is 97%. That is the highest. That's the most since January 2011. 93% of countries show an annual increase in their PMI, and 73% showed a monthly increase. So we have broad base, and the long-term average for the global manufacturing PMI is 51.4. We're at 53.1, six-year high, well above average. Based on that, you have to say economic conditions are green. There's very little risk of a recession in the near term. Now, it's something we continue to monitor. No promises there, but certainly the conditions are favorable. The U.S. second quarter gross domestic product measure of output was revised strongly upward to 3%. As consumer spending and business investment came in higher than was first estimated. The last month, I mentioned how non-manufacturing PMI in the U.S. had fallen off. It had dropped 3.5 points in the month of July. Now, the question was, is this an outlier or a trend? And it turned out to be an outlier. That services PMI rebounded to 55.3%. In the month of August. U.S. unemployment report was a little soft, 156,000 new jobs created, but the three-month average is still robust at 185,000 jobs, and the unemployment rate remains low at 4.4%. So in terms of central banks, the U.S. Federal Reserve, as they looked at these numbers, inflation rates are still low. Bond yields are falling. I suspect the Federal Reserve will not raise its policy rate in its September meeting. It will probably hold off until December, but I suspect it will announce it will be normalizing its balance sheet by not reinvesting at all of the bond proceeds it receives from terms of its mortgage-backed securities and treasury bonds that are maturing. As they mature, they're not necessarily going to reinvest all those proceeds, so they're going to start to shrink their balance sheet. But generally speaking, central banks are accommodative around the world. Only the U.S. is really raising their policy rate and doing so at a very, very slow level, while many countries, Europe, Japan, continue to practice some quantitative easing. So economic trends are green. Market internals are yellow. They're neutral. The measure of trend, momentum, trend is the direction of the market. And I mentioned we're in a kind of from a seasonality perspective, the kind of the worst months of the year. Some of the best months go into the fourth quarter, but the August and September tend to be some of the worst months, and it's reflected in some of the trend data. Only 51% of global markets are above their 50-day moving average, down from 70% last month, 79% above the 200-day moving average, and 47% of stocks are above their 50-day moving average. So there was some volatility, some sell-off in August. You've seen some rebound toward the end of the month, but overall trends, just the direction wasn't as strong as it has been in some of the previous months. although the percent of global markets with rising 200-day moving averages, so the overall, the average is rising over time, upward sloping, is 91%. So trend is sort of mixed. That's neutral. It's neutral. So not terrible, but not as robust as it was last month. Momentum, the rate of change in markets, is depending on the indicator, it's neutral to bullish. U.S. investors remain pretty optimistic, whereas global investors, if you take in sort of global sentiment, they're kind of neutral. And so they're still a little worried. And that actually sets things up nicely for markets to continue to advance as they have, particularly given the strong economic signals that we are getting. Gone a long time, though, since a 5% correction, 314 days. That's the longest stretch since 1996. U.S. market's gone, looks like 303 days or so. This is as of yesterday. So we've not had a bear market decline in global stocks since 2011. Bear market described as a 20% or greater loss. But as we stand in early September, global valuations, economic and central bank trends, and market internals are collectively, overall market conditions are yellow, but economic trends are green. But as you average things together, we're still in sort of neutral territory. And you can see kind of a regional breakdown. As I mentioned, some overvaluation in U.S., Europe, ex-UK, and the United Kingdom. A little more attractive valuation in Japan. PMI, the region's most attractive. So green, even though overall global stocks conditions are green for the economy, Europe, ex-UK, and the United Kingdom are the most favorable. And that's an update in terms of the investment conditions. Suggests that members should keep their allocation in line with long-term target, not necessarily pulling back risk right now, given where we are.